fourth preacher feature, which we post once a month, the first Friday. And for this preacher feature, we have Xander, the assistant pastor at Calvary Chapel, South Pittsburgh. Please right now subscribe to us on our YouTube channel, follow us on Instagram, and check out all of our audio platforms, which will be in the link in the description.
Like Grant said, my name is Xander Shishora, and I'm the assistant pastor here at Calvary Chapel, South Pittsburgh.
All right, so we're just going to dive in and ask Xander some questions. And so for the first question, we're going to hear a bit about Xander came to know the Lord and was ultimately saved.
Yeah, so growing up, my parents always went to church, and they always took us to church. And so this isn't like the quote-unquote like typical story, you should say. Nothing like, I should say, exciting, like crazy exciting. But I just remember as a little kid, being at home at night before bed with my dad, and we were praying together, and he asked me if I wanted to receive the Lord. I don't even know how old I was. I mean, old enough where he was still reading me books before I was going to sleep. So during just one of those nights, you know, he just shared the gospel with me, and I remember praying with him and asking to receive the Lord into my life and to forgive me of my sins. And so that's as far back as I can remember. But I also just want to say, too, that through all that, all of my life, man, the Lord has been sanctifying me and just growing in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And it's crazy, you know, to look back and to really see the Lord's hand on your life and to see how he's been teaching you and showing you of his grace and his faithfulness in all of my life. And so that's just a huge blessing. And you know, you think that you know so much about grace and really understand so much, but as you just walk with the Lord, he's just so constant and keeps changing us. And that's definitely been in my life, and I'm thankful for just all that he's done.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And so I'm not really sure even how you became the assistant pastor at Calvary Chapel, so we're going to hear a little bit about how that process took place and where you are now.
Sure.
As assistant pastor.
Sure. So I grew up in Calvary Chapel, Fredericktown, which is about 45 minutes south of Calvary Chapel, South Pittsburgh. And that's where I grew up as a kid. And then I started working in downtown Pittsburgh, and I'd drive back and forth from Pittsburgh to Fredericktown. It was about an hour away. And during that time, Calvary Chapel, South Pittsburgh was planted and they started to grow as a church. And so I would come and be here a few times, just, you know, just to stop in and see it. And then one time I came up to an event called Community Day, where they do a big outreach to the community. They have tents set up and games for the kids and all kind of events going on. And during that, the Lord really touched my heart. He really just showed me people who needed the Word of God. And so, you know, it was really in that day. I never wanted to start coming to CCSP just because it was convenient and because it was closer. But the Word really spoke to my heart and just showed me that it's an opportunity to come and to minister and to give the Word of God out to others. And so from there, I just started coming and attending CCSP and helping out, getting plugged in. Our senior pastor at the time, and he was probably doing five Bible studies a night, a week. And there was so much going on. And so any way that I could get plugged in, I'd come and just sit and be in the high school Bible study or the men's fellowship or whatever was going on. And from there, Tim and I, we just started to jive and really had the same heart to spread the word. And so started getting plugged in with youth group and different things like that. And it was never like a formal program. It was never like an aspiration. It was just, you know, he approached me one time and when we were in downtown, because we both worked down there, and he just said, "Hey, I've been praying about it. What do you think?" And I was, honestly, I didn't really want it at first because I know my own heart is so prideful, and so like you put the title assistant pastor there, and I didn't want my heart to be puffed up. And so he was, what he emphasizes, you're already doing it, and it's what the Word's done, and so it's just more of a formality that comes with it. And so, you know, I prayed about it, and the Lord, I was scared, of course, because it's a lot of responsibility, just in terms of, man, now you're shepherding people. And now others are watching you in a different way. And so it's been a great great opportunity, though, and the Lord's grown me a lot through it.
Yeah, so that's going into the next question. Since you've came to the responsibility as assistant pastor, from that first point whenever you did accept the offer to now, how have you grown in the Lord and seen things you've learned?
Oh my, that's a loaded question. There's a lot there. I could say just a few things. One thing that was big for me is that I'm a huge people pleaser. I don't like necessarily upsetting somebody or confronting others. But during all this time, you see that sin needs confronted and people need addressed, just like I do, by the way. And so in that, to not necessarily say something when it's uncomfortable or to say something where it might upset somebody is really doing them a disservice and also yeah. the word a disservice. It's just wrong. Mm-hmm. And when Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers," you know, that's it doesn't mean necessarily that everybody's going to like you or agree with you, but where we can come in and we can bring the word of God in, and where then I guess you could say real peace comes, because there's no more sin, there's no more, these issues can be resolved. And so that was a huge learning curve for me, and it still is, but just learning not to be a people pleaser and to be a God pleaser, not to fear man, that's been huge. Mm-hmm. But other than that, just being, I guess, faithfulness. Yeah. And there's a lot of times where you're serving or you're plugged in and you're wondering, is this even making a difference? Are the kids getting it, or you know, this person that you've just been reaching out to? But God's just always been faithful to open doors to minister, whether it be at work, whether it be in the lives of the people in our fellowship here at CCSP. And it just shows that, you know, who He is, and that He's working through His Spirit, through His Word, that the Word doesn't return void. Mm-hmm. And that's encouraging, because it really allows us to, of course, we're faithful in studying and sharing and serving. Yeah. And then just being able to kind of let go and let God do that. And He always will and always accomplishes His will.
Mm-hmm. That's a great response. And so being an assistant pastor prior to that and then stepping into that role of responsibility, I'm sure there's also many things that took you by surprise and that you weren't ready for exactly stepping into the position. Has there been anything that's been surprising, and what have been some of the blessings of new things that the Lord has grown in you?
Mm-hmm. I think one of the biggest things that anybody and any Christian will just continue to learn is the depth of His Word. And so you're studying something or you've grown up being in the Word of God, but as you continue to be in His Word, it's amazing the depth of all that there is in terms of just getting to know Him, but then how you can really see yourself as you're in the Word, and it reflects, it's like that mirror where we see our true selves. And so, you know, just to see being able to rightly divide the Word and how important it is to be able to connect the Old Testament and the New Testament and know the Old Testament, that's been a huge blessing. And then to see how that translates into others' lives as well, as you can share those things. So that's been a huge surprise. But I would also say just one of the biggest things, especially now as I get older and continue, you know, have married now and have a house and a quote-unquote normal job as well. But you see how the world would say, there's not much joy or the world would say to live for yourself, I guess. Yet when you live and you pour yourself out, just being willing to be there for somebody, or, you know, helping out of the church by putting back chairs or coming and setting something up or sitting and doing security for women's Bible study or whatever it may be, you know, being here at men's fellowship on Saturday mornings and Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings, it's like the world would say that's not the way to do it. But as you do that, and as you're just in the presence of where God has you and being plugged in there, there's real fullness there. You know, it's because you're around the Lord. And you think about the Levites, you know, they were, when God set up the Israel, when they were camped in the wilderness in Numbers, remember? Mm-hmm. It was the Levites who were to serve God in the temple, but they encamped all around the edge of the tabernacle there. And so we know that that represented the glory of God, right? Because he, over the mercy seat, that's where the presence of God was. And so those who were serving, they had the opportunity to be close to just where the presence of God was. And so being plugged in, sometimes it's very tiring, but at the same time, man, that's where the Lord is. And there's just a blessing there. There's real joy and there's real substance there. Not that there's anything wrong with watching a football game or, yeah, or there's other things, because I love doing that too. But that's just, it's real weighty. So that's been neat to see and experience for myself, especially as you hear others, you know, they sometimes we can just hear it and we know it in our head and can agree with it. But when you get to walk through it, it's pretty cool, man.
Yeah. And like you said, you're recently married.
Yeah.
And also still, as you've grown in the assistant pastor role, there's been a lot of things that have just been added to your resume of things that you're doing now. So what has marriage been like so far, even though it's still shortly into it? And what have you learned from that so far?
Yeah, that's a man. I gotta watch what I say there. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. So I've been married to Olivia for 7 months, and man, it's been amazing. She truly is amazing. She's a blessing. She loves the Lord, and she's so sharp. She knows. It's amazing. I'll be sitting there like trying to take notes and stuff like that during a Bible study, and she can just sit there, and she has this amazing ability to retain the Word of God and to remember it and to apply it. And I'm so amazed where I'm like, is she even paying attention right now? And then we're driving in the car home, and she recites the whole thing. So it's just neat to see that. But anyways, marriage has been a huge blessing. And you know, just being honest, it was interesting over quarantine, because we were married in January, so what, married about a month and a half, maybe 2 months before quarantine hit.
Yeah.
And so at that point, then I started working from home, and she was at home all the time now too. And so now we have kind of this, I don't know the right word for it, but now we're both at home together all the time. And in that time, it's such an opportunity, man, where the Lord really showed me how much of a sinner I am in my own selfishness, just in the day to day, and just attitudes that were wrong and expectations that were wrong in my heart. And so although that was hard, looking back now, it was such a great opportunity to grow together, and just to grow in our marriage, to grow in my walk with the Lord individually. But other than that, it's neat to see how, even like I was talking about earlier, in serving and kind of being around all the time and being plugged in, that the world would say that's not the way to live. But even being able to use our marriage and like going different places or being plugged in with youth group and church and things like that, it's fun because we just enjoy to be together. Yeah. You know, we just enjoy to our car rides down to the church, as we're setting up chairs, we'll joke around with each other. We'll just have conversation, talk about what the Lord's doing. And there's just a realness there. And because it's about the Lord. And that's really, again, going back to what I've been saying, I feel like just a cassette tape that's broken.
Yeah.
But that's where just real weight is even found in our marriage. And and just to see, you know, how you see Christ in that person, and how that person can see Christ in you, and the Lord uses that person to help shape and to mold you and to teach you to be more like His Son. And so our prayer and our goal in marriage is even that others would just see the gospel lived out practically, nothing extravagant, not extraordinary, but others would see Jesus in and through our lives.
Yeah, and so with all of the task that God has given you, you're still growing in all those things and still learning through all of those things. But as you kept stressing, serving is a big thing. Going along with that, this is a place where we're trying to target all people, but for young men or men in general specifically, what advice would you give to them in a culture where it's so centered around get a girlfriend, get married, get this emotional rush of this quote-unquote love, whatever love is now, in the community of the church. And how do we wait upon the Lord? Because he's all called us to different things. You and I, everyone, we all have our different callings from the Lord. Mm-hmm. But what the question I'm asking you is, what advice or insight would you give to waiting upon the Lord? Because until you find whoever your wife may be, if that's what the Lord's calling you to, mm-hmm. because whenever that's a desire put in your heart, there's obviously some waiting upon the Lord that you have to do before you're given whatever it may be that the Lord's calling you, who the Lord's calling you to marry.
Mm-hmm. I would say, number one is simply, as you were saying, just trust the Lord, right? And in the Psalms, it says that those who know my name will put their trust in me. And so the name of God is the character of God. So as you know, if you know that he is faithful, you know that his word won't return void, you know that he's able, he's omniscient, he's all powerful, he's able to do it, and you know that he loves you. And so, you know, just going through all those things, that's just a few. And so as you meditate upon that, then when the doubts and when the enemy starts to say those lies to us of X, Y, Z is never going to happen, or for whatever reason, whatever it may be, then you answer with, again, remembering who God is. And so trusting him, and then get in the time that you have as a single man, just get plugged into serving, because then you're going to surround yourself with other godly believers who can just be there to encourage you and help you grow as an individual in your walk with the Lord, and then who can you know, you can learn from their lives. They can keep you accountable. All these different ways, but just be plugged in. Be plugged in. Don't be idle. Because when we're idle, we can start just to focus on ourselves and to think all about ourselves and say, oh, poor me, right? And we can go a place, or I guess stop trusting the Lord and then start try to take it into our own hands. But one pastor, he always says that God gives his best to those who leave the choice to him.
Yeah.
And so take our hands off and let God do it and let him be God.
Yeah.
And that's hard in our culture and in our own flesh. My own flesh nature is, I want to be God. I want to make this happen, and I want it to be now. I don't necessarily want it to be God's timing, but when we let go and we let God do the choosing,
yeah,
he gives his best to us.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great response, because a lot of times we want to make the choice, and mm-hmm. we don't want to leave it to God, because there's things that we think are best for us. And when we do wait upon the Lord, we always see the best results, not only for us spiritually, but for everyone else who is involved in our life. And as we know, you're the assistant pastor and you're extremely involved in all of the youth group activities. So you see the kids that are quote unquote being plugged in. And even me, you've seen me grow throughout the church from younger to now. So you've seen the growth of people. What would you say in the youth you see is the number one consistent struggle in terms of seeing development of kids, and what's necessarily holding back our generation? One of the big things, I know that's a big question because there's a list of things, mm-hmm. but one big thing you see that is really holding back our generation from running and just going full forward for the name of the Lord and what his causes are for the gospel.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think sometimes it starts at home, and it starts with parents wanting to be friends and not wanting to upset their kids, rather than really, really just bringing the word of God and saying, you know, Xander, this is wrong. You shouldn't be doing it, or bringing their kids to church, or being not forcing their kids in essence, but just saying, hey, this is what we do, and so. You know, parents play a huge role, and so that's big, but I know that all of us, we can't control necessarily our parents, right? Mm-hmm. And so just knowing from the kids, my heart would be that they would really know that the Lord is where it is. You know, at the end of the day, all those other things, although not bad, it's not that those things are sin in and of themselves, but there's not that weight there. It's like air, it's vanity. And so that they would know for themselves, not from me saying it or from necessarily you or anybody else saying it, but that they would just come and experience it for themselves, to know the reward and the joy that there is in sitting with the Lord and hearing from Him, and to know that He really truly does want to speak to us, that He will as we wait upon Him, and to know that He truly cares and is intimately involved in our lives, because that's just the lie that the world says, hey, man, there's nothing there. Do you think God's really going to guide you? Do you really think that His word's going to speak? And then, you know, the distractions of social media and our phones and of television, it can just take our attention away from wanting to sit with the Lord. But then as we learn and as we discipline ourselves to do that, and as kids do that, then the word of God just becomes alive, and you start to see hear Him speak and see Him move and through your lives. And so as kids just start to know that even at a young age, man, as they continue in that and as they get older, who knows what the Lord will do in and through them, right?
Yeah.
Because He's just looking for those to whom their hearts are perfectly towards Him, that He might show Himself strong.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's an exciting thing to know, that it's not about, hey, growing up in the perfect environment. It's not about who we are. He's just looking for someone who will fully give their hearts to Him, that He may use in this generation.
Yeah. But yeah, like, because I witness it firsthand all the time going into school amongst friends. You see a lot of the consequences of sin take place in the lives of not all believers, but especially young believers, because like you were speaking on, there's things like social media. And really the only time that you're going to get a taste of the Lord is by deliberately making the decision by yourself to spend that time with Him. Because most of the time when you go through your feeds on social media pages, you're not seeing scripture. You're not seeing the will of the Lord. And that's a tough thing, especially when every week there's some people that are coming through the church and you can't force them upon their free will to choose this and that. And that goes the same way with the youth group. You don't want to force the kids to partake. It has to be their choice, but we have to be the role models and leaders to show them that this is the best way to live. This is the way God created us to live, to be in communion with Him. So that's another question I was wondering, is how important do you think it is for young men, young women, to have a mentor or someone that's actually feeding into them, contrary to what the world is telling us about what is right, what is the perfect quote unquote like American dream to live. How important is it to have someone like an older man that knows the scriptures, that has walked the walk, like it talks about in 1 John, how fought to train our kids up, and in Titus, to have that person there that is consistently feeding us the word of God, so that as we grow up, we see the realities of it being lived out and the importance of them.
Yeah, it's key. And before we go on too far, I just wanted to say too, for kids who or those who may be watching there, say, well, I didn't do that as a kid, or I didn't, you know, I wasn't in the Word, I wasn't plugged in, or I didn't have a mentor, or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Know that God's able to redeem that, and there's even each and every one of us, we're fools that have gone astray. And so in Psalm 107 it says that He sent His word and healed them. So as then you begin in the word of God, He's able to restore and to heal those things, that the wounds even from our sins, because each and every one of us has that. And so that's part of who God is and His character and His nature too. But going on to just finding a mentor and the importance of it, I think especially as guys, it's like one of the least things that we want to do, because that means that I have to be open and I have to be vulnerable. And I have to let somebody in. And it's so easy to want to just cover that up and just to want to put on a picture, a facade, that everything's okay, or that we're not struggling, or that we don't even have questions. Mm-hmm. But we can either learn from others and from the mistakes and the victories of others, or we can sometimes have to walk through those ourselves. And so find somebody who you just see in their life, man, it's somebody who's plugged into the Word of God, and who is serving, and who is that an example of Christ, of course, to you. But more importantly, or not more importantly than that, but just as important, find somebody who will tell you not what you want to hear, and that's going to be honest and say, hey, Xander, you might want to think about this, or what's going on here or there, or you know, that isn't afraid to confront on those things, because, you know, it's faithful, as I believe it's Proverbs says, are the wounds of a friend.
Yeah.
Who's willing to speak into your life and not just say the easy things that are there to say, but will tell us when we're going astray, because that's what we need, each and every one of us. I need it, and I'm thankful for those in my life who do that for me on a consistent basis.
Yeah, that mentor, I think, especially for me too, is important to have. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that I've really learned is, a lot of times with the age we're growing up, and you think popularity, things like this and that, but a lot of times you see that these mentors aren't men that are these big mighty men that are running these massive organizations, living the dream. A lot of times they're men that are just tucked away somewhere that God has them, but they know the word and they know the realities and truth of the scripture. And that's something that I've, you know, really came to understand, is that there's a big picture that God has that we can't see. We're not omniscient and can see the all-knowing and know everything, but the Lord's not concerned about the things, he is concerned about the things that are going on social media and that, but he's not concerned of how popular are in those things. He can work through any person in any pocket of any way, because he has his own unique purposes for each one. And that's the beautiful thing about it. If the Lord's calling even us through just this video, just if one person sees it, to bring them to the Lord, that's all that matters, is the who's coming to know the Lord and his work being done ultimately, not man being glorified, but him. And that takes a stirring of the Holy Spirit that isn't very common in today's age. So to wrap up with one more question, as men of God here, what is the number one line of advice from your own walk personally? Would you say the Lord has always kept a burden on your heart? Paul talks about like a thorn in the flesh that you've always lived with and had to just trust the Lord in that area, that shows you and reminds you, I'm human, I need the Lord, and has kept you humble.
Yeah, I think for me, it was something that I referenced earlier, is kind of the people-pleasing aspect of me.
Yeah.
Because I know, I can look for my worth, and I can look for my value, and a sense of to know like that I'm loved by what others think of me. If you're pleased with me, or if you're upset with me, man, is it gonna wreck my world, or what this person might say, or what this person might think? But then I'm putting myself, you know, that's back under the law, because it's about what I do and what others think, not about who the Lord says I am, and about the grace of God and what He's done for me. And so, the Lord just has shown that to me, and He's revealed that to me in my heart, and it's been awesome to let Him come in, and as He's just been teaching me and walking me through that. But at the same time, you know, we still live in a fallen world, and we're not in our glorified bodies with the Lord yet, and so I still struggle with that from time to time. But even as I do that, and there's days that are sometimes harder than others, it's a reminder. I'm thankful for it, because it keeps me constantly leaning on Him.
Yeah.
It forces me it helps me, I guess, keep me in that place, I should say. That's the best way to say it. And so it's not always fun, and sometimes I'm like, Lord, please let me stop struggling with this and let it go away. But God has His purpose in it, and there's those things in our life that He allows us to walk through that we might know Him. And there's a one pastor who has given the sermon, it's John Corson, about limping through life, and he gives the example of the man who was lame and he was healed. And as soon as he was healed, he was jumping up and down and he was leaping and he ran and he was telling others about it. And they said, well, who healed you? And the man's reply was, I don't know, I have no idea. And yet he compares that to the life of Jacob, who the Lord touched his thigh and he walked with a limp the rest of his life, like you were saying, that thorn in the flesh. And yet he knew God. Even though he had the limp, he knew God intimately. And so
We can think that, man, because I still have a limp in my life, or I still have this thing that I struggle with, that God isn't good, or we can become frustrated, like, Lord, why didn't you heal me from this? Why haven't you helped me? Why haven't you done, why the limp still? Yeah. And yet in God's knowledge, he knows that I would be the man who's running and leaping and say, well, I have no idea who it was. So he allows us to truly know him and his heart in that. And so we can be thankful, even in those difficulties, even in the thorns in the flesh.
Yeah. And so to close, we know in 2 Corinthians, Paul says that God's grace is sufficient mm-hmm. for us, and that his power is made perfect in our weaknesses. And as men of God, is what we're striving to be here. We're not saying that we're one up of people of the world, or just one up. We're trying to one up each other, even as mm-hmm. men of God. We want to build a community that is what Jesus talks about, being the light in the dark world, because there's so much darkness. And as men of God and as women of God, we're called to go out and to be plant the seeds so that the kingdom may be furthered. And so that's what we're trying to build here and grow, because you need to live lives that reflect Christ. We can't live lives of that are undisciplined, and we need to recognize our weaknesses in the flesh, which are really humbling whenever we truly set the time aside to meditate on those things and see, wow, God is so good, I'm so weak, yet he still has a purpose and plan for mm-hmm. me. And so that's what we're aiming to foster here. And so that was a great conclusion to the fourth preacher feature with Xander, the assistant pastor at Calvary Chapel, South Pittsburgh. So thank you for watching. Please, once again, subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow us on Instagram. And this video will be linked in the description on audio platforms, as well as all of our other videos. Thank you. Have a blessed week. Peace.